Good afternoon, Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. The agriculture industry isn't immune from the demand and price impacts of an economic downturn. That according to a new report from the University of Missouri's Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, or FAPRI. In an analysis, FAPRI forecasts a 5 to 10% reduction in crop prices for the 2020-2021 marketing year and an 8 to 12% reduction in livestock sector prices. Livestock receipts are forecast to drop more than crop receipts in 2020, given the relative recent changes in market prices. FAPRI is also forecasting a drop in the 2020 net farm income by about $20 billion. However, FAPRI says an overall impact of the coronavirus on the U.S. economy will depend on the length and intensity of the overall pandemic.
South Dakota Senator John Thune is hopeful USDA will release details of the coronavirus assistance soon. USDA has at least $9.5 billion to help farmers and ranchers.
And they have funding sitting in the balance in the account at the Commodity Credit Corporation, which they could add to that. I mean, I think there's potential there for, you know, $15 billion range, and we're asking them to allocate it quickly. You know, we all wrote a letter, many of us, at least I think 140 members of Congress, which I led in the Senate, Dusty Johnson led in the House, basically asking them to come up with a plan to get these dollars out there to help producers, because you don't need to talk to more than two cattle producers in our state to know that we've got a serious issue in the cattle market right now, and obviously the coronavirus health crisis has only made the situation worse.
And Thune says more assistance could come in future stimulus packages.
There is a lot of concern, and we're watching carefully. Everybody's monitoring how the things that we've done so far are working out there, knowing full well that this probably isn't the end. I suspect that we will have to go back and, you know, look at what we've done so far, see if things need to be changed or improved or refined in some of these existing programs, and then maybe take a look at what other things we can do that will help get people through this. I mean, in the end, we intend to, if there's a need out there, we're going to respond to it, because in most of these cases, people are in these circumstances through no fault of their own.
USDA has released a COVID-19 Federal Rural Resource Guide today. This first of its kind resource for leaders and rather world leaders outlines federal funding and partnership opportunities to address the pandemic. The guide is available at usda.gov.
Over the weekend, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem sent a letter to Smithfield asking the company to cease operations for at least 14 days at a pork processing plant in Sioux Falls. On Sunday, Smithfield closed the facility until further notice due to the coronavirus outbreak. Governor Noem told reporters today she is staying in touch with Smithfield.
Talked to Ken Sullivan this morning. We're going to continue to talk later this afternoon or tomorrow morning and discuss the future of when they can get back up and running. I think the letter and the request made to them, they're looking at, but also knowing that it gives their employees time to go home to heal, to visit with their families, and make sure that we're taking good action going forward to protect the community as well. I know that Smithfield has done incredible work inside the facility for mitigation efforts, putting in infrastructure to protect their employees, and also what they did to make sure that they identified those who may be struggling with the virus or exposed to it.
There are other major U.S. meat and poultry processors that have been impacted by the coronavirus, including Cargill, JBS USA, and Tyson Foods. They've idled plants in other states.
CHS hedging market analyst Steve Wagner says traders are watching the Smithfield Foods plant closing in Sioux Falls very closely.
But I do think that you have funds, hedge funds, who are in the market and selling those headlines, and that's fine, that's the market, but the reality is they are going to have to figure out a safe policy and procedure to operate, because otherwise they're not going to be able to stay in business. And so I think it's just a question of, you know, getting things organized and being able to, you know, get the market or get their plants, you know, in a post-COVID environment, safe to operate.
Wagner says packing plants will need to find a way to return to normal operations.
that's the problem, is between when we're out of it and now, we have to figure out how we're going to operate. And we can only stay shut down for so long. We're going to have to find ways to make things get done, and I think we will. But right now, that leads the market with more uncertainty than they're comfortable with.
Sales of all two-wheel drive tractors were down 15.6% in March from a year ago, according to a report from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. High horsepower tractor sales were also down 18%, and four-wheel drive tractor sales down 17%. Combine sales declined 12%. Year-to-date sales of two-wheel drive tractors down 8%, four-wheel drive tractors down 7%, and year-to-date combine sales declined 18%.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending April 9th shows corn exports of 1.03 million metric tons, 19.5% less than the previous week and 13.5% less than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections are reported at 442,000 tons, 46% more than the previous week, but 7% less than the same week a year ago. Wheat inspections are reported at 609,000 tons, 73% more than the previous week, and 15% more than the same week last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are running 36% behind the year-ago pace. Soybean inspections are 5.5% ahead of last year. Wheat inspections are 7.5% ahead of last year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Grains continue to struggle today with the corn market watching the oil market.
Good news over the weekend, historic production cut by OPEC, 9.7 million barrels per day. That's equivalent to almost 10% of the global supply. The kicker is, you know, crude's not doing much today. We're up 70, 80 cents a barrel. Corn was, you know, up on Friday, kind of holding on, waiting for those talks.
Lowen and Associates market analyst Matt Hines says Kansas City wheat has been the only market showing life at times today due to the freezing temperatures over the weekend and decent export sales.
Export sales finally coming through. Friday, even though the markets were closed, USDA did announce 4.4 million bushels of beans for unknown destinations, also 6.1 million bushels of hard red winter wheat for China. And then this morning, another round, 4.4 million bushels of hard red winter wheat again, this time for unknown destinations. All three sales were split up between this current marketing year and then, of course, for new crop.
Farmers are pulling out the planters and preparing for the 2020 growing season. However, cold temperatures and flooding are pushing back that spring field work in parts of the Northern Plains. Langford, a South Dakota-based Dairyland Seed District Sales Manager, Keith Rico, says right now farmers plan to stick with their typical crop rotation.
They know the history of their land and what they can get into, what they can't, what the rotations are there, if they can change rotations or not, and maybe it's your fertilizer situation and or seed. And we still want guys to have a good plan for a balanced maturity, not have all your eggs in one basket. Maybe you want to change that. So it'll be a one-third late, one-third medium, one-third early, maybe go 20% later and still keep some of your yield potential open. And we don't know how the summer's going to come out yet, so we still have potential for having a great year, even for planting.
CHS Devil's Lake location agronomy sales manager Jeremy Sopransky says area farmers are 2 or 3 weeks away from planting, weather-dependent. First, farmers have to get fields prepped, as very little fall field work was done and very little fertilizer was applied.
There's still a little bit of corn left in the field, some soybeans that are carried over from last year as well, and there was a lot of ground that didn't get worked last fall. As we go forward, we know that the ground temperature is going to be pretty cold this year, so we definitely have to think about some seed treatment and fungicides this spring. We're filled with up to the rafters with fertilizer to make sure that we have enough product on hand to service all of our farmers. When it hits, it's going to come fast, and I always want to make sure everybody's safe.
According to Acres and Shares, there was no brokered American Crystal Sugar Company beet stocks last week. For the trading season, 3,892 shares have been brokered for an average price of more than $3,190 per share, with a trading range of $2,800 to $3,500.
The Risk Management Agency will not penalize dairy farmers if their milk is dumped due to recent market disruptions. The milk will count as actual marketings for the Dairy Revenue Production Program or the Livestock Gross Margin for Dairy Program. The closure of schools and restaurants destroyed demand for milk and dairy products at a time that many processing plants were operating at full capacity.
USDA has confirmed the presence of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a commercial turkey flock in South Carolina. This is the first confirmed case of avian influenza, in the United States since 2017. In 2015, Minnesota poultry farms lost over 9 million birds due to the disease. Dr. Burke Healy, who is with USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, says this new case highlights the importance of biosecurity.
Our key message is for the poultry industry to be aware that this is a possibility at any time and any place, as we've learned in the past. And so with that, we request that they enhance their biosecurity measures to assure that they are protecting themselves and preventing this disease from entering their barns.
Don't forget, you can find out more about the Red River Farm Network radio stations, listen to this broadcast, and more on your phone. Bookmark rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum issued an executive order suspending the April 1st expiration deadline for commercial, public, and private pesticide applicator certifications. This will continue for the duration of the coronavirus. Applicators and dealers certified through April 1st will have until the end of this public health emergency to take a refresher training to renew certificates. Information about examination for those who need initial or new certification will be released this Friday.
The former lead of the Wheat Quality Council, Ben Hancock, has passed away from a long battle with cancer. Wheat Quality Council Executive Vice President Dave Green remembers Hancock as a true friend of the wheat industry. Green says Hancock will be sorely missed. Hancock worked with the Wheat Quality Council from 1992 to 2017.
Russia, Saudi Arabia, and other oil-producing countries have reached an agreement to cut oil production by 10 million barrels per day. This is the largest production cutback in history. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven describes this as a welcome step to provide stability in the energy market. Lawmakers, including Hoeven, North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer, spoke with the Energy Secretary Sunday to discuss this agreement.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, May Minneapolis wheat down 2 3/4 at 529 3/4. May Chicago wheat down 2.5 at 554. May Kansas City wheat up 1 at 493. May corn down 3/4 at 331. December corn down 1.5 at 349 1/4. May beans down 8 1/4 at 855 1/4. November beans down 5.5 at 870 1/4. June live cattle down $3 at 8137. April feeder cattle down $4.50 at 115.02. May feeder cattle down $4.50. May lean hogs down $3.75 at 39.67. A friendly reminder, be sure to check out the Red River Farm Network's farm calendar. It is packed with some webinars through the end of April. And coming up this week, NDSU Extension is hosting a grazing cover crop series. You can, again, find that link at the Red River Farm Network website and more, rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.